Chapter 22. The Best Is Yet to Be. 30 days had passed since Joseph Schwartz had lifted off an airport runway on a night dedicated to galactic destruction, with alarm bells shrilling madly behind him and orders to return burning the ether toward him. He had not returned, not at least until he had destroyed the Temple of Senlu. The heroism was finally made official now. In his pocket he had the ribbon of the Order of the Spaceship and Sun, first class. Only two others in all the galaxy had ever gotten it non-posthumously. That was something for a retired tailor. No one, of course, outside the most official of officialdom knew exactly what he had done, but that didn't matter. Someday in the history books, it would all become part of a bright and indelible record. He was walking through the quiet night now toward Dr. Schecht's house. The city was peaceful as the starry glitter above. In isolated places on Earth, bands of zealots still made trouble, but their leaders were dead or captive, and the moderate Earthmen themselves could take care of the rest. The first huge convoys of normal soil were already on their way. Ennius had again made his original proposal that Earth's population be moved to another planet, but that was out. Charity was not wanted. Let Earthmen have a chance to remake their own planet. Let them build once again the home of their fathers, the native world of man. Let them labor with their hands, removing the diseased soil and replacing it with healthy, seeing the green grow where all had been dead, and making the desert blossom in beauty once again. It was an enormous job. It could take a century. But what of that? Let the galaxy lend machinery. Let the galaxy ship food. Let the galaxy supply soil. Of their incalculable resources, it would be a trifle, and it would be repaid. And someday, once again, the Earthman would be a people among peoples, inhabiting a planet among planets, looking all humanity in the eye in dignity and equality. Schwartz's heart pounded at the wonder of it all as he walked up the steps to the front door. Next week he left with Arvardhan for the great central worlds of the galaxy. Who else of his generation had ever left Earth? And momentarily he thought of the old Earth, his Earth, so long dead, so long dead. And yet but 3.5 months had passed. He paused, his hand on the point of signaling at the door, as the words from within sounded in his mind. How clearly he heard thoughts now, like tiny bells. It was Arvardhan, of course, with more in his mind than words alone could ever handle. "Pola, I've waited and thought and thought and waited. I won't any more. You're coming with me." And Pola, with a mind as eager as his, yet with words of the purest reluctance, said, "I couldn't, Bell. It's quite impossible. My backwoods manners and bearing. I'd feel silly in those big worlds out there. And besides, I'm only an Earth—" "Don't say it. You're my wife, that's all. If anyone asks what and who you are, you're a native of Earth and a citizen of the Empire. If they want further details, you're my wife."
"Well, and after you make this address at Trantor to your archaeological society, what next?"
"What next? Well, first we take a year off and see every major world in the galaxy. We won't skip one, even if we have to get on and off it by mail ship. You'll get yourself an eyeful of the galaxy and the best honeymoon that government money can buy."
"And then?"
"And then it's back to Earth, and we'll volunteer for the labor battalions and spend the next 40 years of our lives lugging dirt to replace the radioactive areas."
"Now why are you going to do that?"
"Because—" There was the suspicion of a deep breath at this point in Arvardhan's mind touch. "I love you, and it's what you want, and because I'm a patriotic Earthman, and have the honorary naturalization papers to prove it."
"All right."
And at this point, the conversation stopped. But, of course, the mind touches did not, and Schwartz, in full satisfaction and a little embarrassment, backed away.
he could wait. Time enough to disturb them when things had settled down further. He waited in the street, with the cold stars burning down, a whole galaxy of them, seen and unseen. And for himself, and the new Earth, and all those millions of planets far beyond, he repeated softly once more that ancient poem that he alone now, of so many quadrillions, knew. Grow old along with me, the best is yet to be, the last of life for which the first was made.
This has been a presentation of BBC Audiobooks America. Pebble in the Sky. Text copyright 1950. Renewed 1978 by the estate of Isaac Asimov. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2008 by BBC Audiobooks America. All rights reserved.